So I'm going to begin this talk by speaking a little bit about karma, one of the most misunderstood aspects of the Buddha's teachings, or the notion of karma is certainly misunderstood, or we don't understand what the Buddha is speaking to when he's speaking about karma. But it is one of the most important things to understand. It's actually the essence of right understanding. Understanding wisdom in this path begins with karma, the understanding of karma. So the law of karma, which is of course a law that we, something that we need to understand, you know, intellectually, but through experience and through knowing. The law of karma tells us that our actions have consequences, that what we do has consequences. So our actions have consequences in the moment when we're taking those actions, and they have consequences that reach into the future. So there's present moment consequences of our actions and consequences that lead into the future. So sometimes the metaphor that we use is like, you know, you're throwing seeds ahead of you and they'll sprout at some point in the future. So what we do has consequences. If we act unskillfully, which means if we act motivated by desire or aversion or delusion, our actions will lead towards suffering in the moment when we're acting and into the future. It will condition actions in the future that are informed by desire and aversion and delusion. It will condition actions that lead to suffering in the future. By the same token, if we act skillfully, which means if we act motivated by love and compassion, it will condition, we will experience a movement towards the end of suffering and towards happiness. We will begin to experience true happiness in the moment. You know, a moment of pure loving kindness, in any moment when there's just loving kindness in the heart, suffering is alleviated. There's no suffering in a moment of loving kindness. The Buddha was very adamant about that. In one of the suttas, he said, don't tell me that when your heart is open and shining with loving kindness, that there can be aversion or desire. So when we act with love, we experience an alleviation of suffering and a movement towards happiness in the future, and it conditions actions that are informed by love and compassion in the future, and actions that lead to an alleviation of suffering and towards happiness in the future. Now, in any moment, we're of course affected by our past karma, which is sort of the bad news. The good news is, in any moment, we can create new karma. We have the potential to create new karma. So that's why we meditate in large part. That's why we meditate in large part, so that we can see where we are in the present moment, see how past karma might be affecting us, and make a decision. And this is what a meditation affords us, you know, this opportunity to pause and to look at our actions and to discern. We can make a decision to act with love and with compassion. You know, an ability to do that, of course, is dependent on how strong our meditation, our concentration, our equanimity is, and how strong our past karma is. But we're learning to do that right in the at the beginning of the meditation, right? At the beginning of the meditation, we look, we see what's in the mind. I don't want to meditate. You know, I've been doing this for 40 years. Every time I sit down to meditate, just about, the thought arises, I don't want to do this. This is going to be terrible. That's my past karma. I'll have that for the rest of my life. The Buddha had past karma. Now, the difference is, I see that arising. You know, for years, I would meditate with that attitude, and the meditation was not nearly as beneficial as it could have been. But then I began to understand the law of karma, and saw what was in my mind, in other words, my past karma before I started to meditate, was able to put that to the side to some extent and cultivate a skillful intention. All right, I'm going to meditate with compassion. I'm going to meditate with love. And once I started doing that, of course, my meditation began to be informed by more skillful qualities and was a lot more beneficial. And then, which was really the eye-opener for me, I began to notice that my other actions also began to start to change in my life. And I started doing other things with more love and with more compassion in my life. So it's really our actions that determine our happiness. If we act with love and with compassion, this will move us towards happiness and the alleviation of suffering. If we act with aversion, desire, and delusion, this moves us towards suffering. But our actions are really up to us. Up to us. We create our karma through the actions that we take and the intention that we imbue our actions with. Now, intellectually is something we have to begin to know. Understanding begins with, all right, well, that sounds good. You know, I'm going to try to be more skillful and take more skillful actions. And any kind of understanding begins with, you know, intellectual understanding, hearing what I'm saying or reading what the Buddha said. But ultimately, we have to understand on a deeper level. A level that transcends the intellectual level. That's why we meditate, right? That's why we meditate. So as we begin to meditate, we can begin, as I just said, to pause before we act, to see past karma arising, and to change our karma, and we can start to see that when we do that, that begins to lead us in a positive direction. So we begin to start to pay attention. We can start to see. Because once you start to see that, then it's like, wow, now I really start to understand. I used to hear about it, but once I started to develop enough meditation to where I could see what was arising in my mind, to see that I wasn't beholden to that, I could change that. And when I did, the results were beneficial. Then, you know, then I really started to have understanding that enabled me to be more concerned with doing what I needed to do to take skillful action. And as your concentration deepens, we begin to see and understand the long-term consequences of our actions. You know, that's when things really start to get interesting. So we have a kind of enough space to begin to be sensitive to the long-term consequences of our actions. Now, ultimately, as our concentration deepens, as our meditation gets stronger, we understand the law of karma in the heart. So ultimately, this is why we meditate, because it's not so much like we understand the law of karma in the heart, because that law is in the heart. We're connected to the heart. Because the heart knows that our actions are what determine our consequences. Our heart knows that actions informed by love have a beneficial result. The heart knows that. The heart knows that. The heart knows that. So ultimately our meditation leads us towards an understanding of the Dharma, the truth, the law, and that's inside of us. That's inside of us. When you know things in the heart, then it starts to become really hard to do things that are unskillful. Because we know the truth and we know. It's like, the Buddha said, why are you swallowing those hot coals? You know, you understand that taking those kinds of action is like swallowing a hot coal. And by the same token, we know that our actions that are informed by love and compassion will have a benefit, will have a benefit for us and for others. We know that. We know that. We know that. One of the laws, if you will, of karma is that small actions can can have large consequences. Small actions can have large consequences. This is one of the most important things to understand. And again, it sounds good, but you begin again as you develop concentration, as you begin to learn to act with love and compassion, as you become more sensitive to the truth, you begin to know that that's true. Small actions have large consequences. So the Buddha said that a finger snap of loving kindness, a moment of loving kindness, has great power. So don't underestimate a moment of loving kindness. Don't underestimate a thought of loving kindness. Don't underestimate a single, simple act of loving kindness. That's how we bring about change. That's how we learn to move towards happiness in our lives for ourselves and also affect others in their effort to find happiness and freedom from their suffering. So, Buddha said, whatever kinds of worldly merit there are not worth 1/16th part of the heart deliverance of loving kindness in shining and beaming and radiance. The heart deliverance of loving kindness exceeds them all. Just as whatever light there is of stars, all is not worth 1/16th part of the moon's in shining and healing and beaming and radiance. The moon's light far excels it. And just as in the last month of the rains in the autumn, when the heavens are clear and the sun, as it climbs the heavens, drives all darkness from the sky with its shining, beaming, and radiance, and just as when night is turning to dawn, the morning star is shining and beaming and radiating, so too, whatever kinds of worldly merit there are not worth 1/16th part of the heart deliverance of loving kindness. In shining and beaming and radiance, the heart deliverance of loving kindness far excels them. I'm going to read one more passage from the Dhammapada. The Buddha says, better than 1,000 hollow words is one word that brings peace. Better than 1,000 hollow verses is one verse that brings peace. Better than 100 hollow lines is one line of the law bringing peace. It is better to conquer yourself than to win 1,000 battles. Then the victory is yours. It cannot be taken from you, not by angels or by demons, heaven or hell. Better than 100 years of mischief is one day spent in contemplation. Better than 100 years of ignorance is one day spent in reflection. Better than 100 years of idleness is one day spent in determination. Better to live one day wondering how all things rise and pass away. Better to live 1 hour seeing the one life beyond the way. Better to live 1 moment in the moment of the way beyond the way. So, something as simple as coming to a Dharma class, being with others who are interested in these teachings of karma, in learning how to live with love and with compassion, learning how, with the opening of the heart, the simple opening of the heart in any moment, we can bring about change in ourselves and in others. Just coming here and being here means something. It's something important. Being here, cultivating silence by meditating, cultivating peace, means something. This means a lot. This means a lot to come here and sit and meditate for a half hour. Sunday night, maybe I'll watch TV, maybe I'll do that. You know, when you come here and sit for a half an hour with other people and do what we just did, that really means something. That has a profound effect on yourself, on the people in your lives, and on the world. just being here and cultivating wisdom means something. Being here, cultivating love and compassion means something. We may not perceive things that way. And again, you know, the true understanding of that, I mean, I can talk about that, you know. Our charge is to understand that and to see that. You know, again, we may think, it's not really such a big deal to go to a Dharma class or to do whatever it is that you might do. That, as simple as it might be, might offer an opportunity for a finger snap of loving kindness. We may think, it's not such a big thing. It's not such a big thing. Or we may think, I have a lot of other things to do. I mean, the Buddha had the same thoughts enter his mind. He characterized them as Mara. You know, Mara came to the Buddha and said, why are you doing this meditation? You were a prince. You could be back, in your princely estate and have all those pleasures of the world. What are you doing this for? What are you meditating for? What are you shaving your head for and wearing those robes? Why are you doing this? And it's no different with us, right? It's no different with us. You know, the things that ran through the Buddha's mind in terms of the resistance he had are no different than what run through our minds. He could see that, you know, and he said, I see that that's Mara. Mara said, of course, the Buddha sees me. And this went on throughout the Buddha's life. Mara came and visited. What are you teaching for? People aren't going to get what you're going to say. The Buddha said, well, I'm going to give it a shot. We think, this is like a really small group. You know, a few people come here every Sunday night. We've got a little bit more people here tonight than maybe we typically have. A few more people. You know, what can we accomplish here? You know, maybe if we could fill Madison Square Garden. That's a very Western idea, right? That's a very Western idea. If we could get a lot of people. We all have heard that axiom that, you know, change is brought about, you know, by small groups of people who are dedicated and committed to things that are good. There's that quote, many small people in many small places do many small things that can alter the face of the world. You know, when the Buddha set out to teach, at first he had nobody to teach. He found five guys that he knew from before. They didn't even like him. They thought he was a whack crazy. So that's where he started. His passing on of the Dharma was always a grassroots operation. There was always small groups of people. This is how we are able to bring meaning to our lives. This is how we're able to do something that's important. You know, the ways of the world, you know, we talk about the ways of the world. A lot of us are affected. We're all affected by the ways of the world, the things that happen in the world. You know, and we may feel powerless. We may feel invisible. You may feel despair. Yeah, but being here, doing whatever you can do in the service of cultivating the heart, in the service of cultivating that capacity to extend yourself into the world with loving kindness, whatever you can do is very important. Being here, we're doing something that's very important. You're doing something that's very important for yourself. You're opening your heart. You're learning to open your heart. You're learning, as that sutta speaks to, you're learning to shine your light in the darkness. The world seems so dark. The world seems so dark sometimes. Shine your light. Shine your light. That's why we do this. You know, we have a light to shine. It's up to you. You're going to shine your light? You know, and in coming here, you know, we do something very important for others too, by being an example of somebody who is able to shine their light and to support others in their effort to do that too. And we come here for ourselves because we're suffering and we want to open our hearts and we want to live a life of more love and more compassion and more joy. You know, and it starts with ourselves, but we also come here for others. You know, we also come here for others. I mean, that it has to work that way. It has to work that way. You know, the Buddha realized that. He said, you know, I just can't be awakened on my own. I need to help other people. I mean, that's the nature of awakenedness. That's the nature of love and compassion, generosity. You know, I don't know, I always had this, and I guess that's why I ended up starting meditation centers and somehow ended up becoming a teacher. I remember the first groups that I was in, you know, with small little groups. I don't know if anybody here was in any of those groups. There's still some people around who were, you know, years and years ago, you know, and you know, our group met Thursday night or Tuesday night or whatever it was, and you know, I always felt like, you know, I have a responsibility to the others in the group to show up. You know, not because I was some great beacon for them, but because we needed each other. We were a group. We had 10, 12, 8 people, whatever it was. I had a responsibility to those people. And I took joy in that. I took joy in that. So again, this is something we need to understand, that we come here or we do whatever we do for ourselves, but we also do it for others. And we have a responsibility to each other. And we do it for all beings. We do it for all beings because what we do when we come here in this very humble setting, this small group, in this very simple act of meditation and sharing these teachings has an effect on us and the people that we do it with and the people in our lives. It has a profound effect. You know, people say this all the time on the people in our lives. How it changes and has such a great effect on, people say, on their children and on their parents and on their partners. And what I would submit to you also is that it has an effect beyond the people that we know. You know, the world that may have a lot of darkness in it needs places of light. You know, those little places of light, those little pinpricks of light, those little beacons, those little moments of love and kindness are essential in this world. What we do here has great importance and makes a difference, and it's really important to know that you can make a difference. You know, you're not powerless. You're not helpless. What we do here makes a difference. Makes a difference in the world. I mean, I know that. I know that completely in the heart. You know, sometimes there's 5 people here. You know, I don't say, 5 people, you know, maybe I'll just send it in tonight. It's important. There's 3 people, 5 people, 10 people. What we do here makes a difference. I have no doubt in my mind about it. Not just for me, but for the world. But for the world. I mean, I know that because I to some extent, understand the law of karma. You know, we may think, and I think a lot of us do, that, you know, this meditation is so hard, it's so difficult, the practice is really hard, it's really hard for me to do this, you know, and given my life and my family responsibilities and my job responsibilities, that, you know, what's the point in me doing this? What's the point in me going to a class or meditating every day? I'm not going to awaken, you know? I'm not going to reach any great level of attainment. Why bother? Well, what I would submit to you is the most important thing is just being here. That's the most important thing, is just showing up. That's the most important thing, is just showing up, having the intention to develop wisdom, compassion, love, making a commitment to the heart. You know, it's like making a commitment to the heart, not your heart, the heart. Making a commitment to the heart, making a commitment to goodness, to love. You know, making this commitment is what matters. Everything that's good comes from that.